Turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 9. We're going to look at verses 19 through 27 this morning. 1 Corinthians chapter 9, verses 19 through 27. The title of our message this morning is, Ounce Served by No One. Ounce Served by No One. And if you remember from last week, we talked a little bit about, the title of the message was A Timeless Message in Tumultuous Times. What we talked about some last week was that regardless of what's going on around us, and there's always something going on. There's always in world affairs and families and churches, there's always things that are going on. But what we talked about last week is that no matter what's going on around us, our mission, our goal is still the same, and it's been the same ever since Christ ascended back to the Father, and that is to be witnesses unto Christ, okay? To seek the good of everyone around us by witnessing for Jesus Christ, knowing that the first step in a person's life being better, being changed, being transformed, is that they come to know Jesus Christ as their Savior. And so we talked about some last week about that is our message, and it has not changed, it will not change the day that Christ returns. The week before that, we talked a little bit about walking worthy of our calling. And we looked in Ephesians chapter 4, verses 1 through 3, at a phrase there that Paul uses when he encourages them to walk worthy of their calling as Christians. Okay, and this is all kind of going along with a theme that I've been thinking on and kind of an emphasis I've been thinking on for 2016 for my life, for this church, and that is that we talked about this at our New Year's Eve service, and you know, we've talked about some really big, weighty, eternal truths about Christianity, about creation, about God, about Jesus Christ, about salvation, about the resurrection, about eternal life, about all these things we've been talking about and giving evidence and reasons for why these things are true. In light of these things, it changes everything. Everything in your life is changed by the fact that Jesus Christ was who He claimed to be, the Son of God. This is an understatement to say this, that is a game changer. It changes everything about how you live your life when you come to the realization and come to the knowledge that Jesus of Nazareth really was, although He was the son of Mary, although He was born into the family of Mary and Joseph and with brothers and sisters, even though He was the Son of Man, a descendant of Adam, He was also the Son of God. Amen. God incarnate. I shared the Scripture with you on several occasions around Christmas. John chapter 1 verse 10. He was in the world. Jesus of Nazareth is part of human history. Undeniably. Amen. Someone denies that, they're ridiculous. Undeniably, Jesus was part of human history. A man in His humanity. John chapter 1 verse 10 says, He was in the world. Listen to this. The world was made by Him. He was God.
Amen.
He created the world in which He lived. He created this earth. And by world, I don't just mean this earth. I mean the universe. I mean the heavens and the earth. He created them. He was in the world, and the world was made by Him, and the world knew Him not. That changes everything. Do you agree? If you disagree, when we get done today at the back door, let me know how that doesn't change things. I would love to know how that fact does not change things in light of who Jesus of Nazareth was and is to come. Okay? It changes everything. And what's crazy is for someone to say, I'm a Christian, say, I believe that is true, but it has no impact on my life. That's crazy. That makes no sense. It will change you if you believe it. Okay? In light of those things, how should we live our lives? And what we're going to look at this year is that our life should match what we believe. What we profess should be manifested in how we live our lives. Our discipline, and by the way, you think, well, discipline, that sounds kind of oppressive. What do you think disciple means? What do you think it means to be a disciple of Jesus Christ? It's discipline. We're to be disciplined in our lives. I believe in the free grace of God like you cannot believe. It is 100% by grace. It is not of works. You will never work your way to heaven. It is 100% by grace. But when that grace is applied to your life, it will change how you live your life. You will become disciplined in light of God's Word. You will control yourself. You will make different decisions. You will mature in light of those things. And so when we talk about discipline, first we're talking about our lives matching what we profess. We're talking about being consistent. If there's anything that's killing the witness of the church in Blount County, in the state of Tennessee, in the United States of America and in the world, it is that Christians are not being consistent with what they profess. It's a killer. You know what it's called? Hypocrisy. Have you ever heard someone say, churches are full of hypocrites? Of course you have. Everyone's heard that because it is so inconsistent. It is living inconsistently with what we profess to believe. Folks, we have to be consistent. If you're going to be a powerful witness for Jesus Christ, if you're going to be a Christian, we have to be consistent. Okay? That's why we're talking about some in 2016. That's why we're doing a study on Sunday night in 1 John, because 1 John, that's where the rubber meets the road. He says, if you say you have Christ and you don't love your brother, you're a liar. No qualification. No well, but, and, if. If you say that you are a Christian, that you've been born again, and you hate your brother, you are a liar. John is the apostle of love, right? 1 John, I mean, that's a letter. It talks a lot about love. But folks, it also is where the rubber meets the road. He says, you cannot live inconsistently as a believer. Something has to change. Amen. Folks, we need to hear that. Do you agree with that? We need to hear that. I need to hear that. Okay? So the title of the message this morning, kind of along that same line, that same vein, it's entitled, Ounce Served by No One. And I'm talking about the Christian life. Folks, we are to be committed. We are to be dedicated. We're to be faithful. And we're going to look at what Paul says about this in 1 Corinthians chapter 9, verses 19 through 27. If you will, stand in honor of God's Word to read this together. Listen to what Paul says here. This is the only scripture we'll look at this morning. 1 Corinthians chapter 9, verses 19 through 27. Listen to what Paul says. For though I be free from all men, yet have I made myself servant unto all, that I might gain the more. And unto the Jews I became as a Jew, that I might gain the Jews. To them that are under the law, as under the law, that I might gain them that are under the law. To them that are without the law, as without law, being not without law to God, but under the law of Christ, that I may gain them that are without law. To the weak I became I as weak, that I might gain the weak. I am made all things to all men, that I might by all means save some. And this I do for the gospel's sake, that I might be a partaker thereof with you. Know ye not that they which run in a race run all, but one receiveth the prize? So run that ye may obtain. And every man that striveth for mastery is temperate in all things. Now they do it to obtain a corruptible crown, but we an incorruptible. I therefore so run, not as uncertainly, so fight I not as one that beateth the air, but I keep my body and bring it unto subjection, lest that by any means, when I have preached to others, I myself should be a castaway. Folks, we go to the Lord in prayer. I have one request here that I forgot. My memory's terrible. But remember Bob Garner in prayer. He's having issues, some heart issues. It's a co-worker of Elma. So we pray this morning. Let's remember that in prayer. And I forgot to mention that at the beginning of our service. Let's go, Lord, in prayer together. Father, we thank you for this day. Thank you for this time together. God, I pray, Lord, that you would be with this request that we just mentioned for Mr. Garner. I pray, God, that you would help him, Father, with the heart issues that he's dealing with. God, I pray, Lord, that you would allow him to be healed, that you would extend his days, extend his life. But God, I pray, Lord, for him spiritually as well, Lord, that you would please just move upon his life, Lord, and that he would be trusting in you, that you would strengthen him, Lord, both physically and spiritually, Father. God, I want to pray, Lord, for this message this morning. I pray, God, that you would please take your word as it's been read now, that you would engraft it into our hearts, Father. God, we know, Lord, that being a hearer of the Word means absolutely nothing. But it's the doers of the Word that will be blessed. God, I pray that we would apply what we've heard this morning, that we would look at this as we spend some time going through the Scripture, that we would be challenged in our heart, that, God, we would seek to be the best Christians we can possibly be, that, God, we would really give it our best. God, not just say we're doing our best, but really push ourselves to do our very best for you, for your kingdom. God, we recognize, Lord, this life is extraordinarily short. We don't have any time to waste. We don't have any days to waste. God, I pray, Lord, that you would help us, God, to be committed to you, that, God, we would be consistent, and that, God, you would take that obedience, that you would take that faith, that faithfulness, that you would cause that to be a light to this world, that, God, that men would see our good works and not glorify us, God. We are not self-made, Lord. We would be so lost, as we sung earlier, we would be so lost. Where you brought us from, Lord, if it wasn't for your Son, Jesus Christ, we would never be able to glorify you. But Father, I pray, Lord, that people would see our good works and not glorify us, but glorify our Father, which is in heaven. God, help us to do that to the best of our ability. Challenge us, Father, to do better for You. In light of this message, in light of the Scriptures that's been read, challenge every heart here, God, that we would be determined to glorify You in everything that we do. Every aspect of our life, nothing off limits, nothing excluded. Everything we do, every decision we make, that we would do it in faith, being mindful of You, knowing that our lives are so important in how we live them. Thank You, Lord, for this Word. Thank You for this time. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Be seated. I think this Scripture that Paul covers, man, he covers a lot. We're going to try to get through this as quickly as we can this morning, but he says a lot. A lot that we need to take to heart. Verse 19, he points out and says, "For though I be free from all men, yet have I made myself servant unto all, that I might gain the more." I want you to understand something this morning as a Christian. And I pray that every person here is a Christian. If you're not, today's the day. Today is the day. Don't put it off. I want to encourage you. Call upon the name of the Lord, and you shall be saved. It is by grace through faith, not of works, lest any man should boast. You could never work your way to heaven. You need the forgiveness of Jesus Christ, and it is free and available and offered this morning. It's offered right now. If you need to pray right now, pray right now. But I pray that every person here is a believer. As a believer, as a Christian, I want you to know something. You have liberty. You have liberty. Unfortunately, there's a lot of Christians who don't realize they have liberty. There's a lot of legalism today. There's a lot of man-made rules that are completely out of accordance with what God says. Folks, that's not true. You have liberty. Paul spends a lot of time saying, don't let someone else put you into bondage. Okay? You've been liberated. Christ has made you free. The Son makes free is free indeed. You have freedom. You have liberty in your life as a believer. You're dead to trying to work your way to heaven. You're dead to legalism. You're dead to trying to look pious in front of everyone, putting on a good show in front of people. Folks, the games are gone. The games are over in the believer's life. It is real, authentic righteousness, the righteousness of Jesus Christ. Forget self-righteousness. Forget trying to merit yourself to other people or to God. It's about walking in newness of life in Jesus Christ and in liberty. I cannot tell you how liberating it is to know Jesus Christ. This world has no hold on me. The religions of this world have no hold upon me. I am Christ and He is mine, and I'm following the law of Christ and how I live my life. We have liberty to walk in the Spirit, to walk with the Spirit and in the Spirit in our life. Paul says, I have liberty. Let's establish that up front. He goes on to say that he is free to live as he desires. And with the Holy Spirit in his heart and in his life, his desire is to live for the Lord. Not because of some regulation, not because of some rule, but because he desires to live for the Lord. And as he desires to live for the Lord, it goes right back to that greatest commandment I talk about probably every Sunday, that Jesus Christ was asked and said, what is the greatest commandment? To love the Lord your God with all of your heart, your soul, your mind, and your strength. That's the greatest commandment. You need to love the Lord. You need to walk with the Lord. But he doesn't stop there, does he? And the second is likened to it. To love your neighbor as yourself. Upon this hang all the law and the prophets. He summarized the whole thing in those two commandments. That's the point of thou shalt not kill. That's the point of thou shalt not commit adultery. That's the point of thou shalt not covet. That's the point of thou shalt not have any other gods before me. That's the point of that, is to love God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength, and your neighbor as yourself. If you do that, you'll fulfill this. Does that make sense? Paul was free to live as he desired. But the thing is that God changes our desire. If you're truly born again, He changes our desires. He had a desire to live for the Lord Jesus Christ, who saved him, who bought him, who brought him salvation. He had a desire to live for him, who created him. And he had a desire to live for others. He had a desire to live for others, listen, for whom Christ died, that are created in the image of God. Paul said, I have liberty to do whatever I want to do. And in that liberty, I'm going to serve other people. I'm going to help them. Not trying to earn my way to heaven. Jesus Christ is my way to heaven. The way, the truth, and the life. No man comes to the Father but by Him. I'm going. But in the meantime, I'm going to serve others. You know why? Because I want them to go too.
Amen.
I wasn't going. But somebody faithfully served in preaching the Word and teaching me the Word and helped me understand salvation. So guess what? I get to go too. And they didn't have to do that to still be liberated, to still have that forgiveness. But folks, when that forgiveness comes upon you, you have a desire to help other people. And it's not by constraint. It's totally different. It may look the same. You may go to this place or that place. You may worship here or there. You might do this good thing or that good thing. But it's totally different because you're not doing it to try to merit yourself to God. You're doing it because you love God and because you don't need merit. Jesus Christ is our merit. He has fulfilled it perfectly for us. He is our righteousness. It's no more about self-righteousness, but we want to walk in righteousness because He is righteous, because the Father is righteous. Our motivation is totally changed once you know Jesus Christ as your Savior. And Paul said, I'm free. I'm at liberty. But I have made myself the servant of all, of everybody. He cared and loved and wanted everybody to be saved. No exclusion. Folks, you know why did he say that as an apostle? No. Did he say it as a preacher? Did he say it as a missionary? He said it as a Christian. Everybody in this room who knows Christ, he said it. That's the desire of a Christian. And Paul, I think, gives us a great example of what that looks like. He has liberty, but he chooses to take on servanthood for other people. To be a servant of Christ and to serve Christ in serving others, in preaching to others, in helping others, in discipling others, of even suffering for others. Okay? We come on down to verses 20 through 22. And he goes into more detail. I won't read that entire passage there, but he says, when I go and I'm dealing with the Jewish crowd, I take on Jewish customs that I can win the Jews. He said, when I'm out here talking to a Gentile crowd, a pagan crowd, I will not do Jewish customs that I may win the Gentiles. Which one do you think was harder for Paul? You think, well, you know, there are a lot of rules within Judaism. There's a lot of customs and things, you know, do this or that, a lot of rituals, a lot of cleansing, all these different things. You think, well, that was the harder part, so he can go liberate himself, go to Ephesus, go to Corinth, go wherever in the Gentile world. He doesn't have to do those things anymore. If you thought that it was easier to do this than to do that, you're wrong. Paul was a Jew. Paul was a Pharisee of Pharisees. You need to know his background. He gives his resume at the end of 2 Corinthians, around chapter 11 or 12. He gives his former resume. Folks, he grew up, I mean, it, according to the law of the Jews, he was, touching the law, blameless. It is such irony that God calls a Pharisee of the Pharisees, a set apart of the set apart within Judaism, to be his apostle to the Gentiles. That's phenomenal. When Paul went and ate with Gentiles with unwashed hands, I'll bet you his flesh was just dying. I'll bet you his flesh was saying, I haven't washed 7 times and I'm eating this food, but I'm going to win the Gentiles. He got on Peter for that. He opposed Peter to the face because Peter was eating with the Gentiles. He was doing the same thing Paul was doing, but then the Jews showed up. Some guys that were friends with James back in Jerusalem, they show up who are believers, but they come from Judaism, and they see Peter over there eating amongst the Gentiles, and suddenly he kind of backs off a little bit. And Paul says, I don't think so. I'm paraphrasing. I don't think so. He said, if thou being a Jew and live as the Gentiles, how can you expect them to continue to be Gentiles and not live like Jews? You're being hypocritical, Peter. That's the moral of the story. And he called him out on it. Because you know what? Gentiles have liberty in Jesus Christ. Jews have liberty in Jesus Christ. So Paul said to the Jews, I became as a Jew. I lived amongst those customs. I know those rules don't do anything, but I lived amongst them because I didn't want to create offense, because I wanted an opportunity to share the gospel. And I wasn't going to hinder that with anything. I'll give you an example for us today. We go on mission trips. I ask a question before we go. How do we dress? You tell me. How do you eat? What are their customs? I will match their customs. Well, that's ridiculous. I don't care. I'm not there to waste my time. I'm there to share the gospel, and I don't want to do anything to offend that. let me know anything I might do to hinder what we're here to do. It has real life application. And folks, it's not about putting on a show, it's being authentic. But it's recognizing there are things that the non-essentials, the negotiables, whatever you want to do, let's do it. On the essentials, I'm going to be firm on the essentials. There's things that are non-negotiable that I'm going to stand firm on. But these things that are non-essentials, that are negotiables, whatever you want to do. But I'm going to preach the gospel. Okay? That's what Paul said too. He said, as the Jews, I lived as a Jew. Amongst them that I might win the Jews. As a Gentile, I lived as one without law. Not without law to Christ. He wasn't going around fornicating and committing sins against Christ. But he was saying, basically, I fit into their customs. I fit in. Paul was adaptable. We have to be adaptable. That's hard to do. Sometimes it's easy. Lots of times it's hard. We have to be adaptable. We have to know what matters and what doesn't. Legalism confuses it. They think things that don't matter a lot. I like using the church hymnal. It doesn't matter. It doesn't matter what hymnal we use. It doesn't matter. There's things that we treat as this is what you have to do. That's kind of a funny or weak example. But you know, there's things that matter and there's things that don't matter. Legalism can't tell the difference. Folks, we need to know what the essentials are and what they aren't and live accordingly. And Paul knew that. And Paul was an effective witness because he knew that. If you choose not to do that, let me tell you something. You can still be a witness, but it's going to damage how effective you can be in your witness. It is. It's going to hinder you. Paul knew that, and Paul said, I'm not going to be hindered by anything. I have work to do. I have a mission, and I'm going to accomplish that mission. He throws out another example and says, those of a weak conscience, I'll conform to that weak conscience. Maybe they're superstitious. I go to places where people worship rocks, where people worship nature, where they worship mountains, they worship a tree. I'm not going to go sit down on that rock. I'm not going to point at that rock and laugh. Is that anything? No, it's not. But why would I seek to offend somebody? I'll conform to that. I'm not going to sit down and worship it because it's nothing. But I'm also not going to offend them. We've gone to places literally where there was a rock about the size of this banister. That was the god of that village. I need to be careful not bump into that thing and knock it over. Okay? It's a rock. My question, I saw this rock, and I looked behind it. There was a concrete, I can't use wood. This was in India. They can't use wood because termites will eat it up because of the way the climate and the environment is there. So they have concrete telephone poles. There was a concrete telephone pole that looked identical to this rock, about where that pillar is there, about probably 15 feet behind it, that was three times the size. I thought, worship that. That's already bigger and better than this rock is. It's ridiculous. But folks, we have to be careful how we do things. They have a weak conscience. They're superstitious. I don't care about their superstition. I care about telling them about Jesus Christ. I don't want to do anything to offend. As we go to that village, Brady and Tori can relate to this, and Justin and Jana, and anyone who's been in another context, another place, before we go in that village, what do we need to do? In some villages, we need to preach and sing. We went to one village, they said, do not say or do anything. Don't even smile. They'll think you're making fun of them. Straight face. Folks, you are adaptable. And that has tons of application, okay? For every situation, there's an application of that almost, but you get the idea. That's what the Apostle Paul did. He gives us an excellent example of how we should conduct ourselves. Folks, simply put, Paul's attitude, his encouragement, his example is this: I'll do what it takes to get it done. I'll do whatever it takes. Now that is an attitude that is foreign to Christians today. That is a mentality, that is a drive that is foreign to Christians in Blount County. Paul said, I'll do whatever it takes. And folks, he backed it up. We're challenged. We're challenged all week long, every day. What are you going to do? Here's the situation. What are you going to do? Almost invariably, what we need to do is the harder thing to do. The hard thing is almost always the right thing. We got decisions to make. Paul's life was not an easy life. It was glorious. It was joyful. It was full. But it was not easy. The life of the Christian, the true Christian, is not easy. Folks, it costs something to be a Christian. Jesus Christ told people who ran to Him and said, I want to be your follower. And folks, I hope you want to be a follower of Jesus Christ. They ran to Him with all this excitement, all this zeal. He said to them, you count the cost. It costs something to be My disciple. And folks, we don't hear that today. We need to hear that. Because that's the truth. It's not Jesus' opinion. It's reality. It's the truth. And if you're not willing to make the commitment, folks, it takes something to be a Christian. It takes some sacrifice. It takes some commitment. It will cost you something to be a believer. Possibly more than we even realize. But Paul had the mentality and the attitude that I'll do whatever it takes. I'll do what it takes to serve Jesus Christ. If preaching the gospel gets my back ripped off, I'll get my back ripped off. I got to preach the gospel. If it gets me stoned, I'll preach the gospel. Executed. Jewish style. With rocks smashing him. That's what happened to him at Lystra. But it was important. Do you know who lived in Lystra? Timothy. Paul, do you want that young man to be a disciple? It will cost you. He counted the cost and he went anyway. We read about him writing to Timothy, a young pastor who is a blessing. Guess what? We read at the end of the book of Hebrews. I hadn't read this before. We read just a quick note. Timothy was led out of prison. Timothy followed in his footsteps. He spent time behind bars too for the cause of Jesus Christ. He had a great example. You talk about a witness. It was a witness to Lystra that Paul preached the gospel and they said, we will execute you if you continue to do that. He kept doing it. It doesn't surprise me there were disciples made at Lystra. Folks, it's a powerful testimony when you say, I'll do what it takes. And folks, it's a weak testimony when you don't. When you bow up, when you stop short, it's the opposite. It says, he's not worth it. The writer of Hebrews says the same thing. He praises his readers to say, you joyfully accepted the plundering of your property. They said, hey, are you guys Christians? Yep, take their stuff. He said, you took it in patience and with joy. He said, because if you don't do that, it is a testimony against Jesus Christ. When you're facing that crucial moment and you back away, it brings dishonor to Jesus Christ. Folks, I said this before. We're going to move on here in just a second. I said this before. I didn't know what I was getting myself into when I became a Christian. The way I found out since then. It costs something to be a Christian. And folks, it's not easy. And the Bible tells us on every page, it's not easy. That was Paul's attitude. That was his mentality. You find in verse 23, and this I do for the gospel's sake, that I might be a partaker thereof with you. Folks, Jesus Christ is the gospel. You know what gospel means? Good news. Jesus is the good news. A Savior has come. That's our message to this world, is a Savior has come. The Creator has come. God has come to make it right between us and God. Us and the Father is through the Son. He says, I do all this for the gospel's sake. Thank you, Jana. The good news is that a Savior has come. That was Paul's motivation. That was his drive. And he comes down to verses 24 through 27. I'll read through these. And he tells them, okay, he's told them now about how to do it and what to do. And folks, I think that probably most of us here know what to do and how to do it. But in these next three verses, he deals with a different aspect. With what devotion? With what intensity? Now this is where rubber's really going to meet the road for us. With what intensity do you do these things? There's a lot of lackadaisical Christians. Lukewarm. I have been one of them, and I'm sure to many extents, I'm still one of them. Folks, these things can't be. You can't be a casual Christian. It doesn't allow for that. either be a Christian or don't be a Christian. You cannot ride the fence as a Christian. Sold out or get out. That's Christianity. Jesus demands 100% or 0%. The devil deals with everything in between. He'll take 1%. He'll even take 99%. Jesus says 100% or nothing. That's what Paul is talking about here in these verses 24 through 27. Listen to what he says here. This has direct application to Corinthians because they understood athletic games. They had an event. Kind of the backstory on this is they had the Isthmus Games there at Corinth. They were held at Corinth. Very similar to the Olympic Games. So we can kind of relate to this today. In America, we're very obsessed with sports and athletics. In Corinth, they were very involved in athletic competition. Okay? So Paul uses a couple of examples here to drive home the point. Okay, listen to what he says. Know ye not that they which run in a race run all, but one receiveth the prize. So run that ye may obtain. As every man that striveth for mastery is temperate, or controlled, or disciplined in all things. Now they do it to obtain a corruptible crown, but we an incorruptible. I therefore so run, not as uncertainly, so fight I not as one who beateth the air, but I keep my body and bring it unto subjection, lest that by any means, when I have preached to others, I myself should be a castaway. Paul says this, I'm like a runner. I'm like a boxer. I will be committed and disciplined. And right there alone thins the crowd. Because people want to come to church on Sunday morning, hear an inspiring message, sing a few songs, go to the house, and that's the sum total of it. Folks, this is the message I'm preaching this morning and every Sunday morning, every Sunday night, is not going to create a big crowd flocking in here to hear what we're saying. But folks, I don't care. I've told you before, I'm far, far, far more concerned with the quality of the members of this church than with the quantity of the members of this church. I don't want 300 deadbeats. Is that clear enough? I'd rather have 30 committed people than 300 deadbeats. But if I can get 300 committed, I'll take that even more. That's it. That's Christianity. Amen. That's what we're called to do. That's what I'm called to do as a pastor. That's what we're called to do as a church. Folks, I want people to be committed. And understand this. Everybody in this room is at a different place in their walk with the Lord. There are people who are here who have been Christians for 60 years. There's people who have been Christians for 1 year. There's a difference, okay? Understand, I'm not saying you have to be, a Christian. You have to be on par with the Apostle Paul. He's writing this probably 10, 15 years after his salvation. Folks, I understand you are where you are. But understand this, there needs to be a desire to grow. Amen. Never stagnate. Amen. I would rather die than stagnate. When I stagnate, get me out of here. I'm wasting my time and I'm bringing dishonor to the Lord. Call me home. That should be our desire as Christians. If I'm done working, get me out of here. But folks, we have work to do. And we need to be committed and disciplined to what we're doing. Paul says, I'm like a runner. I'm like a boxer. And he will be committed and disciplined. He's saying, I will not halfway through the race go throw up in the bushes. That's not a very good testimony as a runner. I'm not going to be holding my side and walking and taking a break. Paul said, as this applies to Christianity, as a runner, as it applies to Christianity, I intend to win the race. I intend to be first place and pulling away at the finish line. That's what he said. He said, as a boxer, I'm not going to be one who spends all his time on the canvas. I intend to put other people on the canvas every time, every round, every fight. He was committed. Where's that at today? As a Christian, not as an apostle. Saved by the same grace of God, filled with the same Holy Spirit of God that I have. And folks, I find this very challenging. I find this challenging. I hope you find it challenging too. I'm not here to discourage you, to beat you up, to knock you to the canvas, but I'm here to tell you, folks, we need to step up as Christians. Do you agree with that? Can you say amen this morning? Amen. Oh my gosh. Can you really say it?
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Thank you, Kenny. That's more like it. Amen. Folks, and I know this is hard to hear, but here's my question. Is that not what it says? That's what I read. If you read differently, again, I'll be at the back door after the service. And I'm not. It sounds like I'm trying to pick a fight. Like, I'll meet you at the back door. And if you read that differently, let me know. But man, it says what it says. And it's not for lack of clarity. We might try to twist it to our, say, well, let me qualify that. Folks, he says what he says. And we need to hear it.
Amen.
We need to hear it. Paul's saying, when it comes to being a Christian, intensity, commitment, fortitude, determination, that's being a Christian. That's part of it. That is what it means to be a disciple of Jesus Christ, to be disciplined, to be a follower of Christ. Hey, you think Paul's tough? Paul was a wimp compared to Jesus. Jesus said, "I will accomplish it." Hell, all hell came against him. The wrath of the Father upon him. Any moment, just whisper the words and you're delivered on that cross. And he said, "Bring it on. I'm bringing salvation." And when he got done, he cried out, "It is finished."
Amen.
He accomplished the mission. And Paul, understand, who do you think his example was? The Lord Jesus Christ, who professed a good testimony before Pilate, before the Jews, and was crucified for it. He said, "I'm following Him. Follow me as I'm a follower of Him." That was the pace setter for Paul, is Jesus Christ. That's our pace setter too. God just, to be even more gracious, gives us someone like the Apostle Paul to say, "Folks, you can do it. You really can do it." I like that song Tori sang, 4 days Late. Do you understand something? I'm going to say this when I move on. Saul of Tarsus was a lost cause. No way he comes to salvation. He wasn't neutral. He wasn't persuadable to Christianity. He hated Christianity. He saw it as a Jewish heresy to be destroyed and committed his life to the destruction of Christianity. He was not one that was going to be converted easily. But it happened. And folks, Tori sang about 4 days late. People, when they die, they stay dead. When Jesus Christ comes onto the scene, things change.
Right.
I'm praying in 2016 for lost causes. I could name 100 right now. I told you before, I'm a cynic by nature. And I look at people and I say, "I'm praying for that to change." In the back of my mind, my flesh is saying, "That will never change." If that's the way they live their life at 20 years old, that's the way they'll live it at 100 years old. They will never, ever, ever change. They'll never break the addiction. They'll never break the cycle. They'll never mature. They'll never grow up. That's what my flesh says. Then the Spirit says, "Who do you think you are? What do you think you know?" And so many occasions, folks, He showed me differently and said, "You don't know anything. Preach the Word. Be a Christian. Be faithful. Let me take care of the results on this. I change lives. The worse off, the further away, that's my specialty." Saul of Tarsus, Exhibit A. And many others. Jordan Davis is in that list too. And Paul makes the point. He said, "You see how hard these athletes work." He makes a direct correlation. Not spiritualizing this thing. He makes a direct correlation. He said, "You see this athlete up running at 4 a.m., 5 a.m., 6 a.m., running all day long. You see the diet that they take in. You see how they train their body. You see they don't show up to the games flabby and out of shape and lazy. You see how they train themselves, and they are seeking a corruptible crown. A Stefano crown that sits upon their head." You've seen this before in ancient artwork. You see the Stefano crown. It was made of a laurel wreath around their head. Paul says it's corruptible. That wreath, after it's plucked off and made into a crown, a week later, a year later, it's going to wither. It's a corruptible crown. And this is where he really drives it home. He said, "They're working like that for a corruptible crown. How should I work for an incorruptible crown?"
Amen.
Answer: greater than those who work for a corruptible crown. That's the answer. Much greater than they who work for a corruptible crown. So here's the question. Do I? Do I work harder in my Christian life than the guys who will be competing in the playoffs today? Look at them. Look at me. That's convicting, isn't it? Convicts me. Did you guys know my foster son went to the Marine Corps Monday? He went to the Marine Corps. We got a phone call Monday night that was very loud. My foster son, Chris, who's been with us for 5 or 6 years, is very loud. He wasn't the one that was loud on that phone. He called to let us know he'd arrived safely at Parris Island. As he read off that message, best I can tell, there was a drill instructor right here, and there was a drill instructor right here. I could not hardly hear Chris on that phone with it that far away from his mouth. So that raised some curiosity. I wonder what Marine boot camp is like. What is Chris doing today? So I got online, got on YouTube, started watching some videos. First 2 hours of boot camp. It's interesting. They don't even get out of their bus seat until the tone is set. They do their paperwork with intensity, rapidly, get it done exactly right. That's the Marine Corps. And woe to the person who messes it up. Woe to the person that gets it 99.5% done. You'll wish you did 100. You'll learn the difference between 0.5% and 100%. As I watched this, I laughed, imagining this. But folks, it convicted me. These guys aren't messing around. They're not playing games. They treat this extremely seriously. And as soon as you arrive on that bus, you'll treat it extremely seriously too. You may be a smart aleck, you may be a wise guy, until the bus goes into park. Then you'll be serious too. It is amazing as I watch that. I have a ton of respect for what these guys are doing, these women are doing. But folks, it convicted me too. The Holy Spirit was working all over me. The question being, are they more serious and committed to what they're doing than I am to what I'm doing as a Christian? Is Chris, as we speak, more obedient to his drill instructor and commanding officer than I am to my Savior? I know the answer. Yes, he is. Folks, let me make an understatement here. As I watched that, I couldn't even sit down. I had to stand up and walk around for a minute. That shouldn't be that way. Yes, it is that way. But that should not be that way. And it may be that way right now, but it will not stay that way in my life. What's the title of this message? Outserved by no one. I thank God for our military. I thank God for the men and women that serve. But they better not outdo me. And they're outdoing me. And that has to change. There are people with a higher bar than what I have. You know what that means? Changes need to come. That bar is going up in my life. I've already identified ways in my life I need to change some things. God's been working on my heart. And it's inspiring to see that those things happen. But folks, it's the Holy Spirit speaking to my heart saying, Jordan, there's some areas you need to work on. It's a lot better than it used to be, but it's not best. It's not as good as it should be. Those guys in that Marine Corps are seeking the title of Marine. You call a recruit a Marine, they'll knock your teeth out. You're a recruit. You're a wannabe. You're a hope to be. You're not a Marine. When they finish the crucible in 12 weeks, they will have their hands shook and they'll say, "Well done, Marine." That's all they get. They don't get national exposure. The whole world doesn't know, but a guy that's been pushing them and pushing them and pushing them for the last 12 weeks will shake their hand and call them a Marine, and they will kill themselves to get that title. That's dedication. For the title Marine, what's my title? Christian. Which one's higher? They are seeking that title of Marine. They're seeking medals. They're seeking higher rankings. They are seeking superior performance on the battlefield, which is important, but it's temporal. What am I seeking? What are you seeking as believers? I thank God for their service, but I am seeking higher things, eternal things. And folks, I hope they're seeking those things too. Alongside the other, let me tell you something. I'll guarantee you, a Marine that is born again, that is saved by the Spirit of God, is a good Christian. They will be. Now, there may be some vices. If maybe they were in that Marine Corps, there may be some vices they come out with. But I'll tell you this, they know about dedication. They know about commitment. And that's the kind of people I'd like to see serving Jesus Christ in this world. People that have some toughness. That know about sacrifice and commitment. I hope that Chris accomplishes what he has set out to do, and it will make him a better Christian for doing so. If he'll do it in faith, walking in the Spirit, he will be a better Christian for that experience. More mature, more disciplined, able to sacrifice more. And hopefully he can win some other people while he's in there.
Amen.
Amen. Folks, as we get ready for an invitation this morning, I see areas in my life I need to push myself more. As I said earlier, I've already identified some of those areas. I want to walk, listen to this statement, I want to walk and live worthy of the title Christian. That's a high title. I preached 2 weeks ago, walk worthy of your calling. That's what we're called to do. Folks, I'm done with excuses. I need to step up. I want to have superior performance on the spiritual battlefield. And I'm in a spiritual battle. I'm in a spiritual war every day. In Ephesians chapter 6, it tells us we are engaged in warfare. And I want to have superior performance in that spiritual battlefield. Why do you think I go to Kenny's class? Why do you think I study? Why do you think I listen to sermons all day long as I drive them down the road? Anytime I get an opportunity, why do you think I'm constantly feeding and thinking and taking these things in? I've got to be superior in how I perform on this battlefield. When somebody asks me a question about God's Word, I want to be ready with an answer, a correct biblical answer, and it will take sacrifice. It will take commitment. It will take work. And folks, the fact of the matter is, as Christians, we're lazy.
Yes,
and that is to be repented of. Do not make excuses. Do the opposite. Repent of it. Folks, step up. Folks, I intend to lay up treasures and rewards in heaven. Eternal things. Medals are great. Rankings are great within the military. I want to encourage people to do their very best, especially if they're a Christian, to serve as best they possibly can, to even outdo those guys that are trying to do everything that they can to give it their very best. But folks, I'm seeking eternal things, treasures and rewards in heaven. And folks, I intend to wear an eternal crown of an overcomer, a crown of righteousness. I don't have this on my slides this morning, but 2 Timothy chapter 4, verses 6 through 8, I'll ask Bill and them to come if they will. I'm going to read this scripture. We're going to get ready to close with this. I want you to listen to what the Apostle Paul says. He's writing to Timothy. Think about what I said a minute ago. He's writing to Timothy. This is that old marathon runner having run thousands of miles, tens of thousands. This is that old boxer, pugilist, beaten up, scarred up. He's fought 1,000 fights. Won some, lost some, and he's getting ready for his life to be over. And he's writing to somebody who still has some fights, still has some races ahead of him. And this is what he says. Does he sound like he's afraid? Does he sound like he's upset and what? He's going to be executed. They are going to cut his head off. That's what he's talking about. And I want you to listen to the boldness and the confidence and the power and to the dedication and commitment and sacrifice in the voice of this man. For I am now ready to be offered, and the time of my departure is at hand. I'm going on a trip. Folks, I have a destination. That's his execution. I have fought a good fight. I have finished my course. I have kept the faith. They couldn't beat it out of me. They couldn't starve it out of me. I've kept faith. Listen, henceforth, there is laid up for me a crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, shall give me on that day. And I'm going to read the last of this, and it changes everything. It does. Listen, and not to me only, but unto all them that love His appearing. That is a challenge raised up to me. He's talking to me. What am I going to do? Am I going to finish my course? Am I going to keep the faith? Am I going to fight a good fight? It's available to every person here. No one's excluded. If you're excluded, you exclude yourself. Period. And to all those who love His appearing, folks, I have work to do. And I intend to do it. And I mean in every aspect of my life. When I see Chris Turalo, if he survives, when I see Chris Turalo in about 2.5 months, he will look physically different. So will I. This body needs to be maintained. I want to serve Jesus Christ until I'm 80 or 90 years old. Miss Louise Gann, accompanies me on mission trips, grueling mission trips to India, where we travel for 40 hours. You ready for this? She'll be 86 this year. She went last year. She's this very little petite woman. She's about literally this tall. She was a high school dropout. She has 2 PhDs. Folks, you talk about tenacity. It's not just Paul. It's the Spirit of God working in her. I intend to be on flights to other parts of this world to share the gospel at 85 and 86. If that's going to happen, it's going to be in this body. I have to take care of this body for spiritual reasons. In faith, I have to take care of this body. I have to discipline myself. And this is a very small thing, but it's an aspect of my life. I may die in a car wreck tomorrow, outside of my control. If that's the case, then that's fine. But if I'm able to go and to give and to do for Jesus Christ when I'm 60 and 70 and 80 years old because I don't take care of myself, that's unacceptable. I intend to take care of myself. I don't intend to become a bodybuilder, but I intend to take care of myself, my heart, where I'm able, whatever's within my control, to be able to go for the Lord and not do anything to hinder me running that race to completion. Folks, that's just a little bitty tiny example of some things in my life that God's saying, Jordan, I had a physical the week before Chris when they said your sugar's high. That needs to be corrected. I may become a type 1 diabetic tomorrow, and there's nothing I can do about that, but I need to take care. He said it's based upon a sedentary lifestyle. It's time to get off the couch and take care of myself. Folks, as a Christian, bodily exercise profiteth little, but it's important I take care of this vessel. This is the temple of the Lord, and I need to use this for the cause of Jesus Christ, and I got to keep this thing in the best shape I can in order to do that. Folks, I'm talking about every aspect of our life. How we work, how we conduct ourselves, how we parent, how we are as a spouse, how we are as a citizen, how we are as a driver, how we are in everything that we do. We need to do it unto the glory of God. That's what Paul did in this world that has not been the same since his ministry. The same can be true for us. As we stand and sing this morning, I'll ask you if you have a desire on your heart, a need on your heart, you need to come and pray. Come and pray. This altar is open. Maybe you just need to sit at your seat and say, okay, I got to think about this. But things need to change. You're right. There's some things that need to change. Folks, if that's what God's doing with your heart, whatever God's doing with your heart, I want to encourage you to be obedient here this morning. If you need to pray, I'll be more than happy to pray with you, whatever your need is. If you're here and you're not a Christian, folks, you need to become a Christian. I can promise you that. You need to become a Christian. Folks, I want to be dedicated as a church. I'm not trying to create a Marine Corps here. But I mean, I want us to be as dedicated as anybody in this world. I want to take it as a challenge that no one will be more committed to what they're doing than I will be to what I'm doing, and most importantly, who I'm doing it for. Amen. Folks, no one has done more for me than Jesus Christ. And I got some news for you. No one's done more for you than Jesus Christ. Are we going to serve Him? Are we going to be disciples of Jesus Christ? And folks, let's do it. Let's decide what we're going to be and go do it. For the cause of Jesus Christ, for the shedding, for the salvation of others, for the spreading of the kingdom, let's be servants of Christ with all of our heart, all of our soul, all of our strength. As we sing, what page do you have, Bill? Page 153.